What are we portraying to the community that we're in? And I don't mean that like from a marketing standpoint, but when people hear of Mount Freedom Baptist Church, or they see us and they know that we're involved in some way at Mount Freedom Baptist Church, are they seeing Jesus? You know, are we being a light into the darkness? Are we being the light into the community where we're at? So each year that I've been here, there's been sort of this natural thing that's happened. This spiritual theme has occurred every year as we spend our time together. And I think back my first year here. Boy, I was an associate pastor and a chaplain, but, you know, my first time being a pastor, you know. So even for me, for my family, my first year here, the theme ended up being new things, right? So God, I think, wanted us to consider new things. And I like to think of it like this. He challenged us to reset. He challenged us to refresh in a lot of ways. Refresh how we look at Him. Refresh how we do church, right? We learned. We grew together, right? The next year, we were asked to get to know God better. Well, when we do that, what happens is our faith gets stronger. So the theme that second year was, man, we want to get to know God, and then our faith will grow, right? And then in 2021, our theme became More Jesus. Y'all remember this? I think this has been my favorite since I've been here. More Jesus, less me. More Jesus, less me. And last year, our goal kind of naturally came about, and what it was, God encouraged us to do what? Embrace our salvation. And when we embrace our salvation, we begin to embrace who it is that we are personally as individuals and then together corporately in Christ. Okay? So as I was praying and thinking, God reminded me of these things, and I look at it, and all through that, what I see in that is God was doing what? And we've already talked about it. Changing us. Growing us, shaping us, molding us. So I said, okay, God, I get that. So what is it that you've been shaping us and growing us and changing us for? Well, that led me to look at who are we? And as I started doing that, I realized that God has already removed some barriers over my time here. He's opened some hearts, and He started us on a journey to become a body of believers, which lives up to, and this is going to sound funny, to the name that's on the sign out front, Mount Freedom. Y'all know that comes as a suggestion from one of the original people involved with starting the church. But then the motivation and the motto out of that, it came actually out of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Y'all remember the verse? Now the Lord is the Spirit. And this is the key. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, we live in the United States, and we talk about freedom all the time, and we have the freedom to assemble and worship. But let me ask you this. What if you were in one of the places that you didn't have that freedom? Would you still believe in the verse the way that we believe in the verse sitting here in Mountain Rest inside the walls of this church? It might be a different story. So anyway, I was thinking about all that, and I was looking. But one of the things I do every year is I revisit these items of how we communicate. For instance, our Sunday paper, right? We used to do a bulletin. We decided to change it to a monthly Sunday paper, right? We may go back to a bulletin. We don't know at some point, right? But how are we communicating? One of the ways we're doing that, and the other way we do that is we have things like a mission statement. Do y'all realize that we have a mission statement? Okay. Anybody recite it without looking at it? I can't do it either. I'm being honest with you. We also have core values. Anybody know how many core values we have? We have three, right? So I started looking at all these things, okay? So what I've done is I've asked Brady to pull up our new website. And as he's pulling that up, I want to pause a minute because I do want to give God a praise offering for Brian Hupp, because our site looks great, y'all. It's under construction, but if you've not been there, mtfreedombc.org, mtfreedombc.org. And you might be able to see it a little better on this one because this TV is, the color is still an issue for us. But as you can see, one of the things I did with Brian is I said, make it user-friendly, right? Y'all know what that means? In other words, go there and see as much as you can on one screen, hit a few buttons, and it gives you all the information you can possibly do. And I'll tell you this, he's taking this job very seriously, and I appreciate that. I think Sue's ready to fire him from the job of being administrator of our website. But it looks good. It's real user-friendly. And if you see up in the, it's hard to see, but up in the upper-hand corner, it says there's a little button there that says About Us. So, Brady, if you'll click on that button that says About Us, then it brings you to another option, and you see our mission, our core values, our story, our beliefs, and then our servants. And if you'll just scroll down, Brady, real quick, you don't have to spend a lot of time. He's put a lot of information. You see there, he's put our history in, you know, former pastors, things like that. Keep going down just a little bit. Our beliefs. So, if you know, what is this saying to people? Let's say a visitor or a stranger that's never been here before or moves into the area, they can go to this site and they can, boom. But here's what I started thinking, okay? And I started thinking, does this really say who we are? So when you read through it and you go through, and I encourage you this week, go and read this stuff. If you don't know what it is we believe, it's there. Go read it, okay? And that's important. But this morning I thought what we would do is focus on that mission statement. So Brady, if you'll go back to the very top where it says mission. Yeah. User friendly, right? If you hit the bottom, you want to go back to the top, hit that little purple arrow. But it's hard to see, I know, on the screen, so I'm going to read it to you. This is what it says. Mount Freedom Baptist Church. That's us, right? Exist. Y'all know what that word exist means? Here. Well, we're more than here, right? Everything we do as Mount Freedom Baptist Church exists to glorify God as a fellowship of believers, introduce people to Jesus inside and outside the church, and enjoy abundant life empowered by the Holy Spirit. Man, that, to me, that's a pretty good sentence, isn't it? It's a pretty good statement. But here's what I want to ask you. Are we living up to it? See, what we do at the end of 1 year and a new year is coming, we reflect, don't we? And we look back and we say, So are we living up to what that statement is? Are we glorifying God together? Because that's the first point in that sentence, right? Says we meet as a fellowship of believers and we glorify God together. You know what that word glorify God means? Or the word glorify means? We put everything praise-wise, attention-wise, where? On Him. On Him. So do we do that? Are we sharing Jesus with others? In our statement it says in here and out there. I think we're doing great in here. I mean, I really do. I mean, man, we preach, we teach, we talk about Jesus all the time. We talk about the gospel all the time. One of the things we're going to do this year is we're going to get back on track with the gospel. We're going to start. You remember Carol several months back took us through the gospel primer. We got some things planned to remind us about the gospel. Well, guess what? That's for when we're in here. But what about outside, out here, outside the walls, in the community that God has put? Are we sharing Jesus with others? And then finally, are we living our lives empowered by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God? That's a little bit tricky one there. I'll just be honest with you. Because there's moments where I can definitively say, "Whoo, I got it." And then there's moments where I should say, maybe I don't have it. Maybe I don't have it. All in all, I like the sentence, I like the statement. Nothing wrong with it, right? After all, the reasoning behind a mission statement is to display to the world around us why it is that we gather here in the first place. Our purpose is found in our mission statement. Mission statements should be more than words on paper, or in this case this morning, words on a screen. They ought to be simple and easy to understand. If I could take that sentence and shorten it, what would I say? We exist, glorify God, share Jesus, live in the Spirit. Right? That's what our statement says. It ought to be simple and it ought to be easy to understand. Here's the other thing. It ought to be something that you do, though. It ought to be something that when people see you here or out there, they know they are what they say they are. They do what they say they do. Right? A mission statement ought to state what it is that we care about. Do we care about Jesus? Absolutely. Do we care about each other? Absolutely. Do we care about people outside of here? Absolutely. Right? So a mission statement ought to say or tell the things that we care about, and it ought to keep us focused on the direction that we're going. After all, it's called a mission statement. Now, it's no secret that Jesus gave the greatest mission statement of all time. So I'm going to ask you to go to Matthew chapter 28. Now, y'all know this. It's at the end of Matthew, and it's some of Jesus' last words, and we call it the Great Commission. Okay? In that word commission, you find the word what? Mission. So Jesus, in one of the last things he said while he was still alive on earth, he said what? Here's the mission. For who? For the church, right? For us. So let's read it together. We're only going to read, we're going to read it all, 16 through 20. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, comma, but some doubted." "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations.'" I'm going to pause because if you read a King James Version, it says, "Teach all nations." "Go, therefore, and make disciples," or "teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, "teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." In other words, all the teachings of Christ, right? He wants us to go and do what? Share that with other people. "All that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, if you were in our Revelation study, that's a promise, folks. That's a hope that we hang on to. And it's also a promise and a hope that we hang on to when he sends us outside these walls and sometimes inside these walls on the mission field. Because sometimes I think we don't go or we don't do because we don't believe and we don't think that he really is with us. But we've said this before. If we believe this Bible to be true, every word of it, when we read that right there, what does it say? "I will be with you always." And then he adds even more to it. Not just always now, meaning now, but always when? Forever. On earth. To the end of the age. Right? Because when that happens, guess what? We won't need to evangelize anymore. But while we're here, guess what we need to do? We need to love Jesus, share Jesus, and then live like it. After all, isn't that what our mission statement said? We know this as the Great Commission. Any church's mission statement that is not centered in some way around the commands that are found in these verses, I'll just say this, is off track. Now, there's churches out there. Bits and pieces might be there, but not the entirety of the mission statement from Jesus himself. Any church where its members do not follow their own mission statement is off track. How important are these words from Jesus? This was one of the last things he said before he left the earth. So I think its importance speaks for itself. Since this is important to Jesus and Jesus is the head of the church, this must be an essential part of our mission. Now, if you know that there's more to this, we could go read in Acts, because in Acts is where it says that we're not just to go to all the nations, but we're supposed to do it in a certain way, right? We start at home and then reach out a little further and then a little further and then where? To the entire world, right? Okay, so there's teaching on Jesus' teaching. That sounds a little bit biblical, doesn't it? It sounds like maybe Peter and Paul took it to heart when they read Matthew's words, or they discussed with Matthew and had the conversation with Matthew, and Matthew said, you know, I think I'm going to put it this way, right? That we're to go and teach about the teacher. And all that he's taught us needs to be told from now and forever. The words of Christ are very important, and they have to become important to us, to us. I love, 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 I say this all the time, how God works. His mission statement is the heartbeat, or ought to be the heartbeat of who we are. It ought to be. And I love how it works, though, because this looks different from church to church. The mission itself is general, but if a church buys into this mission, and out of that mission they've been fervently praying and asking for the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in a way that they ought to, then their mission statement ought to include this, but it ought to be a little bit more specific about where God has placed them in that realm of nations. Does that make sense? I love how God works, because it's different from church to church, but if followed properly, it ought to be the center of every church's mission statement. You see this, the Great Commission at the center of our let me ask this question, sorry. Do you see the Great Commission at the center of our current mission statement? Bits and pieces, right? Okay. More importantly, are you yourself willing to center your work for the kingdom around the Great Commission? Because, again, I love Jesus' way of thinking. I love how he said it. It was a challenge, right? And it was a command for us as the church, as him as the head and us as the church, to go and do these things. But it wasn't just the church. It goes all the way back to you personally. Because if you read that, it says what? Go where? Anywhere and everywhere. When? Anytime, all the time, right? And what does it say? Love me, teach people about me, right? And then get out of the way. See, sometimes we think we got to do more than just that. We get that make disciples confused sometimes. Can you actually make a disciple? Now, I can make a church pew, maybe. One can make a church pew. The proper way, right? But can we really go with tools and all these things and make a disciple? No, we can't. We can hope that out of our obedience that the gospel message has been delivered and that the Spirit of God has taken over and that the Spirit of God, the great carpenter, has done his work and built that disciple. So I prefer, in this case, normally I love my ESV, but I prefer the translation of the King James Version, because it says teach all nations, not go make disciples, but teach all nations. And what is it saying? About Jesus. Whew. Are we making the Great Commission the center of our life and then everything we do here at Mount Freedom Baptist Church? I want to break these verses down just a little bit more for you. Verse 16. Go back to verse 16. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain, that's important for us, to which Jesus has directed them. Anybody ever read that and you just keep on reading because you know what's coming? You've heard about the Great Commission all your life. And you say, well, it's just Jesus telling the disciples to go up there and wait on him. He's going to come teach them. But there's importance in that. I want you to get this. The disciples disciples went exactly where Jesus directed them to go. Why is that important? They didn't go to Jerusalem or to Egypt or to a nearby valley. No, they went where? To the mountain in Galilee. You say, well, why is that important? Well, if God is asking us to go somewhere specific and do something specific, that's what we got to do. But the reality is, and it's not just us, it's many churches, many people who say they're a Christian church. They look at that and they say, well, God, I don't want to go there. I think it's over here, not right there. And they'll work and they'll finagle and they'll twist and they'll turn to get it to off the mountain of Galilee over to the mountain in Judea. Absolutely. So verse 16, don't skip over it. These disciples, it said, went to Galilee to the mountain that Jesus sent them to. And that's the only place they went. So I'll say this about who we are as Mount Freedom Baptist Church. We only got to go where he leads us to go. And if he's not leading us to that place, we ain't got no business going there. That don't mean that Jesus don't need to go there. It just means that he might have somebody else going there. Does that make sense? God placed us on this mountain right here in Mountain Rest, South Carolina, for a reason. And I'll take it even further. God placed us at 478 Highway 107 in the front door of the Lake Becky community. For a purpose, for a reason. Are we fulfilling that purpose and that reason? Or are we looking around going, God, I know you want us to go there, but I like it over here better. Or I see that church down there doing this thing, and it's being successful. Let's go down and get involved in that and be a part of that. Am I saying we shouldn't? If the Holy Spirit leads you to, absolutely, right? But I'm talking about Mount Freedom Baptist Church. He put us on this property. And you go read the history and you talk to people who know the history of how the land was attained and all that good stuff. That was a God thing, y'all. It's still a God thing. And you know why I say it's still a God thing? Because he didn't put us at the fork of 28 and 107. He put us 1.2 miles from the fork in the front door of the Lake Becky community on this piece of property at 478 Highway 107 for a specific purpose and reason. Here's my question. What is it? What is it? 2023, we're going to work, we're going to pray, and we're going to ask frequently and fervently from the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit, to answer that question. To answer that question. Verse 17, I want you to see this. Verse 17 says this, and when they saw him, I love it, they did what? They worshiped him. Comma, but some doubted. I struggled over this. I struggled over this. But what I had to first understand is while it says the 11 disciples went, culturally speaking and in the time frame, because they were disciples of Christ, there was more than just those 11 that went. Okay? There was thousands probably that followed. Okay? So when I read that, I thought, God, well, I mean, these are the disciples. But who was part of that group? Peter. What do we know about Peter? He hadn't been restored yet, so he was still doubting, wasn't he? Even though he had said a few times he believed in the Lord, he was still doubting, wasn't he? He was still doubting. So I want you to see what happened there. Matthew says that some worshipped him and some doubted him. What we get here, Jesus has given us a picture of what it's like when we follow him and then present him to somebody else. Some will believe and worship, while others will walk away doubting. What I just said and what Jesus was talking about there is one of the fears, one of the reasons that we are not great. And I'm not just, the church is not great at evangelism. We're afraid of rejection. But can I say this? They're not rejecting you or us. They're rejecting him. Jesus knew it then. He knows it now. We got to understand that. We're going to go and we're going to be obedient and we're going to deliver the gospel message that is Jesus Christ, and he is our Savior and he is our Lord, right? And we're going to pray and we're going to hope that every person that hears that, that doesn't already know him, is going to give their life to him. But the reality is, and Jesus understood that, is some will believe and worship, but there'll be some that'll still look and say, I just don't know. And they'll walk away. They'll walk away. It's been that way for over 2,000 years. And I already mentioned this a little bit. There's nothing you can do to force someone's belief. You can only control, and I love this, who you are in that moment. And our mission statement says what? We're going to share Jesus in here and out there. And that's just, to me, that's a great part of our mission statement because it's simple. That's all he's asking us to do. Now, we can get down into the nuts and bolts. Well, how do we do that, right? That's where our discipleship focus, because we're talking about things in the new year, right? All right, we're going to pray more, hopefully. We're going to get focused on, all right, God's been molding us and shaping us for this purpose, right? Well, what's the purpose? Well, we're going to ask that question. And then when we get the answer to that question, then we guess what we're going to start then? We're going to start a little bit now, getting prepared to go and actually do what the answer to that question is. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know yet what all that might involve. But that don't mean I'll just sit on my hands and wait, right? I got to be ready. I got to start getting ready. So we're going to focus on, hey, not making disciples, but becoming better followers of Jesus Christ, right? And we've already hit on a little bit, and these disciples here did it. Jesus said, hey, I want you to go over to Galilee to that mountaintop right there and wait on me. What if that's what he tells us this year? I want you to stay right where you're at and do this and wait on me. Well, we'll get anxious, won't we? I know I get anxious. All right. So, here's the reality of verse 17, too. This is where it's not fun for a preacher, but I'm just going to be real with you. Here's the reality. This morning, if you're sitting here, you fall into one of those two categories. You either believe him and worship him, or you're going to walk out them doors still doubting. Still doubting. You either love Jesus and you'll worship him, or you'll doubt him and you'll come in here next week, or you'll come in here the next time you're here and you'll be a viewer with no desire to ever become a doer. Now, our faith ain't about works in terms of salvation. But if we're saved and we love Jesus, it's all about works. Working for the kingdom. Working for each other. Helping out. Learning each other. Growing with each other. Hey, you know what? We don't always get along, do we? We won't always get along, will we? But through the power of the Holy Spirit, guess what? Those things can be conquered. Those things can be overpowered. Those things can be taken over to where, you know what, we might have to do things a little different because we can't get along, right? But in all of that, if we love Jesus, he's going to work it out. And I go back to how I started this, though. If you will let him. If you will let him. Verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. This one's simple, y'all. This is Jesus asserting his authority in that moment. Jesus, not a this is Jesus, the teacher, asserting his authority in that moment. He was speaking not as the Savior, but as the King. His birthright is what allows him to direct our mission. I'm going to say that again. His birthright is what allows him to direct our mission. When we start saying, Jesus, you sit over there, I got this, we in trouble. The king is a king for a reason. It's his birthright, not mine or yours. Brian, in making the website, was joking around, and he was asking me, you know, what are we going to call, you know, down there at the bottom it says our servants. Are we going to call them, you know, what are we going to call them? Our, you know, disciples, servants. In reality, what are we? We're servants. We ought to be. We're vessels. Hey, even as the pastor, you know what I am? I'm just an under-shepherd. I'm just a head sheep trying to lead the rest of the sheep. And I ain't even going to talk about sheep anymore. I don't want y'all leaving mad. Right here in verse 18, Jesus is the king. It's his birthright that gives him all authority. That's why I always say this. We got to do what must be done for the kingdom. We must make sure the Holy Spirit is leading us. Why? Because when he leads and we follow, it's always going to be done the way God wants it done. Finally, the last two verses, verses 19 and 20. These verses actually scare people. Scares people because of the content. But I want to say this. Instead of instilling fear, it ought to give us confidence. When you take 19 and 20 and you go back and you read where Jesus says, I, in all authority, give you this command. When we go on the mission field, whether it be in here or out there, and we're doing it, and we know that the Holy Spirit set it up, and we know that it's a God thing, guess what? It ought to give us confidence, not fear, because it's God's authority, Jesus' authority, the Holy Spirit's authority that we're doing it in. And I say that to say this. The next time we say, hey, we're going to go up here, we're going to talk to these people about Jesus, you better not say, well, I'm going home because I can't do that. You can do it. God is changing you, and he's gave you a story for a purpose and a reason. And he's not asking you to break down in some theological expertise, Romans 8. And none of that's what he's asking you to do is go up to somebody and you say, you know what? 15 years ago, somebody told me about Jesus, and I met Jesus, and I gave my life to Jesus, and now I love Jesus. And let me tell you what's happened since then. Because that's what matters. That's what. And guess what? It can be done corporately too. We can say, you know what? Here we are, was this little church. We started with this number of people, and now we're at this number of people. And people say, well, that's 20-something years. That ain't that much growth. It's a lot of growth in the eyes of the kingdom. There's two major parts found in these verses, and both include the power and authority of Jesus as part of the process. It's through him that we go boldly into all the nations on the earth and proclaim his name. It's through him that we can boldly and confidently baptize others. Can I just say this? I love to baptize people, but it ain't my job and only my job. You say, well, that ain't right. Preachers is the one that's got to do that stuff. No, what did Jesus say? Who was he talking to? He was talking to followers. And I love it, man. If you're the one that went and talked to somebody about Jesus and the Holy Spirit got involved and they gave their life to Christ, man, I think you ought to get in the river, the pool, whatever it is, and dunk them yourself, because that's what Jesus said to do. Amen. But you know what? People say, well, I can't do that. I'm not ordained. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
And you don't have to have a pair of waders to do it.
No. Of course, I thought we was going to do one over Christmas, and that would have been cold, y'all. I'm just saying. That would have been cold. I'd have done it, though. I'd have done it quick, but I'd have done it. It's through him that we teach as well. On our list is a need for teachers. And would I love to see that list filled up? Absolutely. Absolutely. But don't put your name on that list out of obligation. Don't put your name on that list because the preacher said something about it in a service. If you're gifted to teach and you know it and you ain't using it, That's what I'm talking about. Maybe you don't know that you have that gift and you want to find out. That's what I'm talking about. You say, well what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. And this has been one of my fears ever since I've been here. I can get people to teach adults all day long. But to teach kids, nope. Ain't nobody got patience for it anymore. Don't teach them. They won't show up anymore. Look around the room. What's going to happen in the next 10 or 15 years? We don't start pouring into our kids, into our youth. Guess what we're going to be having? Not a baptism, but a funeral. And it's going to be the sign out front that says Mount Pleasant Baptist Church because it ain't going to exist anymore. Pick your feet up. Don't do it out of obligation. But what I'm asking you to do is pray about it. Pray about how you can serve. And if you're gifted in that area, look at it and sign up. Find a spot. I used to joke and say, I'll put you to work. No, God will put you to work. He gave you that gift for a reason. He gave you that ability for a reason. So where does this leave us this morning? Personally, you need to decide something about Jesus. Will you trust him and begin down the path of knowing him that eventually leads you like these disciples that when they saw him, they worshiped him? Or are you going to leave here this morning still doubting? I know this. This is New Year's, right? As every new day comes and goes, and every new year comes and goes, we get closer to the day of his return. It don't scare me. It excites me. But if I didn't know Jesus, and I had read Revelation, and Ezekiel, and Daniel, and all those end time prophecy books that God gave us, it'd scare me. Not the imagery and all that stuff, the end result. The end result. Time might be running out. I want you to listen to what Jesus said in John 14, 1 through 7. Brady might have it on screen before I get there. This is what it says. Let not your hearts be troubled. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. This gets me excited, y'all, I'm telling you. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, here's one of them people that what? Doubted. Now he gets picked on for that. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? I love it. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Both ways. If you've already given your life to Christ, you got to make a decision. What are you going to do with Jesus this morning? If you haven't, you need to make a decision. What are you going to do with Jesus this morning? There's people out there that teach false theology and say there's multiple ways to get to heaven. No, there's not. There's one. Jesus Christ. And even the Jews, the nation of Israel, is going to find that out one day. They already know it. They're just refusing to accept it. But even for them, there's only one way to the Father, to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Corporately, that's us, Mount Freedom Baptist Church. We need to live up to what we've agreed upon in our mission statement. Or honestly, let me say it this way. Honestly, if we ain't going to live up to it, we need to change it. We need to change it. And if a lot of churches had a real mission statement that the world read and they said, oh yeah, that's exactly who them in, it wouldn't be a pretty picture, y'all. And that scares me as your pastor. Is that really our mission statement, or should we rewrite it to say what we really are, who we really are? I hope that if we're sitting here this morning, we say, well, that's our mission statement, but I don't know that we've done such a great job at it, that part of our prayer tonight is going to be what? Lord, help us, change us, make us work toward that. Because what does it say? We want to love him, glorify Him, share Him, and live that way all the time. Live in the Spirit all the time. Does the world around us see a body of believers working together in fellowship and unity? Do they see us glorifying God? Do they see the gospel in us and through us? Everywhere we go and in everything we do, here and there, in here, out there, do they see us walking, not in our own power and authority, but rather in His power and authority? God has many, many things in store for us. But every bit of it, and this is a reality check, all the things He's got in store for us, guess what? It ain't got anything to do with us. It's all about Him, every bit of it. John 14 again, at the bottom of that, verses 12 through 14, and I got it highlighted in my Bible. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in Me will also do the works that I do." And then it continues, don't it? Wouldn't it be just awesome to know that you could do the same things that Jesus did? I mean, that you got that power living inside you. But Jesus says, guess what? "And greater works than these will He do." Whew. "Because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in My name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it." Now, wait, I'm not going to spend enough. I might preach a follow-up sermon at some point on just what I read, because we don't have the time to break that down. So I'm going to give you the Cliff Note version of that. That don't mean you ask Him for what you want. That means you ask Him for what He wants you to do. And He's faithful to do that. And the promise in that is, hey, I did some pretty awesome things. Me, Jesus, boy, I did some great things. And you get all of that. Plus, you'll get to do greater things than that. Whew. If I don't knock your shoes off,
amen,
then I don't know what else will. And I've said this before, sometimes I need to, I don't know, shake you somehow. Maybe we invest in vibration things for the pews with little shockers on them. Because I He didn't save us, guy. He didn't go through all the stuff that He went through. Do all the things that He did for us to sit around and just go, well, yep, glad I ain't going to suffer. Really? If I got to do that? I don't know if I want to do that. When you start really thinking about it and comparing it, we're in trouble. Not just us, but the church in general, Christians in general, we're in trouble. We've not lived up to the mission. We've not lived up to some of the last words of Christ that said what? Love Me, go tell people about Me, baptize them in My name, and then teach them how to live in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Ryan, I have to share this with the Holy Spirit now. As we were going over this, I was thinking about when I was drafted and I was in basic training. They trained me to be a soldier. But there's a difference between a soldier and a veteran, and a combat soldier and a combat veteran. The same thing that he's preaching about went blew the rest of us veterans in here. You were trained to be a soldier. But they didn't train you to be a combat soldier. You didn't become a combat soldier until you were in combat. Vietnam veterans, there's two kinds of veterans, and they have two classifications.
Let's count DC as combat.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. I don't know why the Lord wanted me to say that this morning. You know, in his wonders, he performed.
I'm just going to say this.
I see the discouragement on your face.
I'm not discouraged. Well, don't take it as me being discouraged.
Well, you've been babysit. You've been babysit. Nobody knows that any more than me, Brian. And it's time to get in the battle, because the victory for us has already been won. But the victory for the lost in this community and our family hasn't been won.
Yep.
It is more real to us, or to me, every day because of our study of Revelation.
Yeah. So I was going to say this for maybe next week's sermon, but I was reading and studying, and one of the things that just really jumped out to me is one of the issues we have is we say we want to go, but then when God says go to that mountain right there, when we get right there where he said to go and it's a mess, we're ready to pack up and leave. I know some of you live in this Lake Becky community. You know what that community is really like. God's put us in the mess. And one of my prayers has been, God, are you telling us to get in the mess? Or are you telling us to pack up and leave? I'm just being honest with you. Is that easy? Nope, it ain't easy. It ain't going to be easy. But if that's why he's placed us here, in all these years we've been saying, nah, I don't know, maybe I like it better over there. It's easier over there than it is right here. Maybe it's time to say, okay, Lord, we're ready to listen. We're ready to do what you have us do. I don't know. That's why I say tonight, well, that's one of the things we're going to pray about. God, why are we here? Why are we at 478 Highway 107, Mountain Rest? Why are we right here? All right. And I'm going to close by this. I said this in the message. You yourself have got to decide what to do with Jesus. I would love for you to do it today. I can't make you. That was part of that message too. I can't force it on you. If you give your heart and your soul and your life to Jesus Christ, amen, hallelujah. The next step is, what do you do with it? You got to decide what you're going to do with it. If you've not yet, if you fall in that category of some still doubt, man, I wish today would be the day that you flip that. And that doubt and that worry and that fear went to trust and went to love. And you gave your heart and your soul and your life to Jesus Christ. I can't make you do that. Only you can do that. We're going to play a song. I want you to listen to this song. I want you to watch what's going on the screen. Brady says, why are you going to play that video? It's just that guy sitting there playing with pottery. Hear the words of this song. The challenge to you in 2023 is, you're going to let Jesus mold you and shape you and use you the way he wants to use you. Do you believe that about your life? Will you let the potter, will you let Jesus mold you and shape you? And as we talked about a couple of times, will you let him? Are you willing to give it up and let him? To give it up and let him be in control. After all, we say it all the time, he's not just my Lord are not just my Savior, but He's my Lord. Not just my Savior, but my Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your words. Thank You for Your testimonies. Thank You for Your reminders, God. God, we love You. We pour our hearts out to You. And Lord, my prayer is a hope that You look at me and You say, I'm proud of Your obedience and Your service to me and my kingdom. God, as we leave today, may we glorify You. May we share Jesus. And may we do everything possible to walk in Your Spirit all the time. Father, we love You, we thank You, and we pray all these things in Your mighty and holy name. Amen.